Thank you for joining us today on Drawing Near. This ongoing study of the Bible is designed to help and encourage us to draw near to God through the study and application of His Word. If you have questions about the Bible or your walk with the Lord Jesus, feel free to reach out to me through my email address in the description section of this podcast. When Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he was in prison. In fact, he was to be put to death for the gospel soon. Today on Drawing Near, as he concludes his letter to Timothy, he gives final instructions and some information about his condition. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and study, "Come to me quickly." And as we prepare for today's study, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the ability to come to you in prayer, to acknowledge you, especially at the start of each new day, as I am doing. And Father, I thank you for your word, the way you immediately can touch our hearts and direct our lives for the day. And yet, anytime we come to you, anytime we come to your word, these things can take place. I thank you, Father, that you have given us these opportunities, this format, to communicate your word with one another, and for the fellowship that we have with one another, even when we're miles apart. Father, guide us in our study. Paul was mostly alone, miles from Timothy, and yet you can see his love and his concern. You can see his desire to see him. Father, build that kind of affection within the body of Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In our last study, we saw that Paul identified his condition as being poured out as a drink offering, and his time was short. In verse 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he writes, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." You can hear Paul's desire to see Timothy. You can hear the sense of urgency, "Come to me quickly." And yet, by the time Paul writes this letter, and the letter travels to Timothy, a great deal of time will have taken place. He wasn't texting this. He wasn't putting it in the mail. There was no delivery system. Someone was going to take the letter from Paul and travel many, many, many miles to Timothy. Then Timothy would have to get it, put his affairs in order, gather the things Paul asked for, and then travel to Paul. So Paul is telling him, "Come quickly. Be diligent in your effort to come to me." You can hear Paul's affection throughout this entire letter for Timothy. Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. He loves Timothy, and he's asking Timothy to come to him in his time of need quickly. Then he gives us some details about other companions. He says in verse 10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." Maybe Demas didn't want to be too close to Paul while he was being tried, while he was being sentenced to death. He didn't want to have that association. If that's the case, if Paul is relaying this information in a way that we can understand, it draws attention to the intensity of the persecution Paul was experiencing, that someone like Demas would want to distance himself and protect himself. I think that's what's meant by having loved this present world. He wasn't ready to die. So it appears that Demas was getting out of Dodge, so to speak, and protecting himself while departing to Thessalonica and likely continuing his ministry there. Crescens had departed for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. We don't know that these also loved this present age. As a matter of fact, they probably just had ministry and they went. Their circumstances were urgent, so they had to leave Paul. So Paul is primarily alone, except in verse 11 we see, "Only Luke is with me." Luke the physician, Luke the writer of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, he was with Paul. So Paul was alone as he was being poured out as a drink offering, as his time was drawing short. He has Luke with him, recording these kinds of things, fellowshipping with him, encouraging him. And so he tells Timothy, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." He also tells him to do some things as he comes. "Get Mark and bring him with you." Now, Mark is the individual who Paul and Barnabas, early in their ministry, on their second missionary journey, they had argued over Mark. Mark had abandoned them. He'd gotten homesick. He'd left them in the middle of the ministry, and Paul was none too pleased with him at the time. Barnabas wanted to give him a second chance. Paul did not, so they split. They separated. Barnabas and Mark went one way. Paul and Silas went another way. But now, he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Let's make a note here. Praise the Lord for the Barnabases, who don't quit, who don't abandon, who continue to work and make individuals useful for the ministry. After all, Barnabas did this consistently. He was the one who went up to Tarsus and brought Paul down to Antioch to begin his public ministry. Barnabas was pivotal in making Mark useful to Paul for the ministry when Paul had been left alone in prison. He says in verse 12, and Tychicus, or as some people say, Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. So there were individuals who had left Paul for good reason. Demas evidently was not one of them, but this individual had been sent to Ephesus. So even while Paul is being poured out, he's concerned for the ministry around the world. Paul displays for us a pastor's heart. Then in verse 13, we hear these words, bring the cloak I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. As Timothy begins to travel, he's to gather up the cloak, he's to gather up Mark, and he's also, at the end of verse 13, to bring the books, especially the parchments. Now, we do not know what books these are. We do not know what's on the parchments. But Paul, even though he's dying, even though he's going to be put to death, wants his cloak and wants his books and parchments with him. He wants Mark near him. He wants Timothy near him. Let's take a moment and emphasize something. The affection that is to be within the believers of the body of Christ is often written about in Scripture. We're to have fond, faithful, fervent affection for one another. You can hear in these words Paul's loneliness, his feeling of having been alienated. He's not just going to be persecuted, but there are some believers who are distancing themselves from Paul so not to get caught up in these things. It's quite possible they didn't understand what God was doing in Paul's life, that they thought Paul had brought on some of this himself. You can see how that's possible with Paul's strong language in Galatians and in other letters about the Judaizers. Paul was passionate, and God had taken him to Rome as he had desired, and now he would die there. He wanted some individuals around him. He wanted some things around him, and he's entrusting this to Timothy. We have no idea if Timothy makes it before he is killed, but this is his desire. In verse 14, we learn some new things. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. That's interesting. You don't often hear in Scripture the desire or the prayer for individuals to get what's coming to them. But that's what we hear here. Alexander had done much harm to Paul, and Paul was basically saying, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And he's turning that responsibility over to the Lord. In verse 15, you also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Paul had experienced much harm at the hand of Alexander, and now he wants Timothy to avoid experiencing the same. So he warns him concerning Alexander. And no doubt there were many other people Timothy needed to be careful of, but Alexander is on Paul's mind as he's imprisoned. And finally, in verse 16, he says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Now, when he says first offense, obviously there were others. And in all likelihood, it sounds like others came to his defense at that time. But at his first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. So Paul wants Alexander to get what he's supposed to according to his works from the Lord, but he wants these individuals who did not stand with him not to be charged, not to have this held against them. What do we take from all of this? As we have moved quickly through these things, identifying these circumstances, what do we get from this? The Christian faith is supposed to be lived in fellowship with other individuals. We are to be partners, we are to fellowship, we are to encourage, we are to be present with them. And when that's not the case, there is sorrow, there is loneliness, alienation. And yet, even though we are to be a part of a community of believers, Christianity is lived individually. I am responsible to God myself for my life. He will hold me alone accountable for my life. I live to an audience of one. Paul lives to an audience of one. So whether we have our companions or not, whether individuals are trying to cause us harm or not, we still must be faithful to the Lord. And as we will see in our next study, the Lord is faithful to us. Cultivate relationships. Stand firm with other believers. Love and care and minister to them, especially in the loneliest times of life, the hardest times of life. And when people are there with you, be grateful. But when they're not, be faithful. These are the kinds of things we learn. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these passages. I thank you, Father, for the sentiment, the insight we receive from the Apostle Paul at this dire time in his life. Father, help us to be encouraged and strengthened. Because whether it's as a result of persecution or illness or suffering or loss of some other kind, loneliness and that sense of alienation affects all of us at some point or another. Help us to focus our heart and our eyes on you. Help us to trust on you, for you stick closer than a brother. You are faithful. You never leave us or forsake us. And that's comforting. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for studying with us today. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever podcasts are shared. Drawing Near is a ministry of FBC Tip City based on the promise that if we will draw near to God, He will draw near to us.